It's so good to gather in the Lord's house again, isn't it? So thankful to be here right now. Pray the Lord will meet with us. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Wednesday night, we looked at verse 1 of this chapter, and our message was titled, Why is Christ Our Hope? Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He said, Christ, our hope. Why is Christ our hope? Three reasons. It's because of who He is, what He did, and where He is sitting right now. Who is He? He is God Almighty. You ever get tired of hearing that? He is God manifest in the flesh. I am. I just love that. God Almighty. And if God be for us, amazing. That God, what good news to hear. God can be for anybody God wants to be for. God can be for nobody if He wants to be for nobody, but He is for somebody. And it's us. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's hope. What did He do? He, speaking of God, gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He by Himself, through His own sacrifice, through His own death, the offering of His own blood, He by Himself purged our sins, got rid of it, purged our sins, and obtained eternal redemption for us. Well, where is He right now? Our God is seated in the heavens doing whatever He wants to do. What does He want to do? What is He pleased to do? What is God, our Savior, pleased to do? This is it right here. Daily, this is what makes Him happy, all right? This is what He delights in. He delights in, and He forever lives every day to make intercession for us. He daily delights in showing mercy to us for His own sake. Christ is our hope because of who He is, what He did, and where He is right now. Now, I want us to spend a little time in verse 2 tonight looking at something that caught my interest. I use the word interest on purpose. I enjoyed studying this and learning this and knowing this, and I hope you'll find it enjoyable, too. I don't know if this is a little different from the norm or not, but I just pray this will be a blessing. Verse 2, Paul said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. He's writing this letter to Timothy, who he calls his own son in the faith. Timothy was not Paul's son. Paul called him his son in the faith. And what he was doing was he was expressing his deep love for Timothy. He was expressing his deep bond with Timothy, like the bond of a family. There is a bond within a family. But this bond is greater. It's so much greater. As great as the bond of a family in the flesh can be, as great as that can be, never will that bond ever come close to the bond of a family in Christ. The bond of the blood of man is nothing compared to the bond of the blood of Christ. It just isn't. The love that is in man, it cannot even be compared to the love that is in Christ. There is a oneness. There truly is a oneness. There is a unity that passes everything else, and it's because of Christ in His people. Christ is the bond. It's not that believers just like other believers better, you know, like people of like-mindedness just prefer people of like-mindedness. That's not it. Believers are sinful flesh just like everybody else. Christ in His people is what draws them together. The things of Christ are drawn to the things of Christ. And there's a bond. And there's a unity. And there's a fellowship. And it's Christ. Even though Timothy was not Paul's son in the flesh, Paul said, "He is my son in the faith." And I can enter in to what he's saying. I don't have a physical brother. I don't have an earthly brother. But you all are my brothers. You might as well be my brothers. I love you as my brother. I think as much as I could love a brother. I have a lot of mothers. Really. In the faith. Who I love and respect, I believe love me. I enter into what Paul is saying here. He said, Timothy is my son in the faith. He's saying we share the bond of believing on Christ. We share the bond of looking to Christ together. He said, Timothy and I, we look to Christ together. We're hoping in Christ together. We're rejoicing in it. We're waiting on Christ together. Verse 2 says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." Now, let me just take a minute here and show you what the Word says about this man, Timothy. Tonight, this is what I want to do. I want to look at the man, Timothy. I believe it'll endear us to him. I hope it'll endear us to each other even more. But turn with me first, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 1, it says, "Then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." In a moment, we're going to turn over to 2 Timothy, where it tells us that Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice. As it says here, she was a believer. And Timothy's grandmother, and her name was Lois. She had a grandmother. He had a grandmother named Lois. She has a grandmother named Lois. And she was a believer. But it says that his father was a Greek. What a blessing it is to generation upon generation share this faith, have fellowship and brotherhood and family in the faith. What a blessing. I pray God will give that to all of us. What a blessing. Generation to generation. So verse 1 right here says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. The Jews were circumcised according to the law." That was a token that God gave to Abraham and to his seed that represented the covenant of grace, the covenant of mercy. "And the Jews were circumcised according to the law, and Greeks were not circumcised according to the Jewish law." So Timothy was not circumcised because his father was a Greek. But verse 2 says, "Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." They all knew Timothy. He was well reported of. And they all knew that his father was a Greek. And Paul took him. He said, "I want you to come." Paul met him and he was well reported of. And Paul could see something in that young man. He said, "I want you to come and minister with me." And he had him circumcised. And what that means is Timothy made an open announcement. "I am with you." They were going to go out and preach to the Jews. And Timothy made an open announcement to them. "I believe this. I believe this true and living God that I'm preaching. I bow to Him. I worship Him. I want to be identified with His way." Just like we do now with baptism. That's what we do with baptism. They all knew his father was a Greek, so he let it be known. "The Lord Jesus Christ is my King, my Savior. And I plead His covenant." That's what I'm pleading as my hope, His covenant. So Paul took Timothy with him and taught Timothy. And eventually he ordained Timothy to the ministry. And Timothy became very dear to Paul. He loved him dearly. And it was because of his seriousness in the work. It was because of his, if we can say, faithfulness and devoutness to the ministry of preaching the gospel. And don't you love whenever the Lord, and God does it, to Him be the glory. But don't you love it when the Lord puts a devoutness in someone to worship God? Don't you love that? Great is His faithfulness. But aren't you so thankful when you see Him put faithfulness in His people? To preach the gospel, to hear the gospel, to worship Christ. Timothy was a very faithful, devout minister of the gospel. Timothy proved himself in the work. And God put a lot of confidence in Paul toward Timothy. Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 19. Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. And if you have a center reference in your Bible, you'll see that like-minded means so dear unto me. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. The Lord gave Paul confidence that Timothy was not in this for himself. He was in this for the good benefit of God's people. And may that be said about us. May that be said about us. May we not be in this for ourselves. May this be for the service of the Lord, for the good of God's people, for the good of God's sheep. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He's writing this to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul was constantly thinking about him, praying for him. Verse 4 says, greatly desiring to see thee. He said, I want so badly to see you. When the time came, according to the commandment of the Lord, Paul laid hands on no man suddenly. And he gave that wisdom to us. You lay hands on no man suddenly. And he didn't lay hands on Timothy suddenly. But when the time came, Paul sent Timothy out to preach the gospel to places that needed the gospel to be preached. Anywhere that a door might be opened. And that's what we still do today. Men go out. Acts 17 tells us that Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica. He sent him to Berea. And he called him to come over to Athens where he was. Acts chapter 18 says Paul sent Timothy to Corinth. Acts 19 says he sent him to Macedonia. Acts 20 says he sent him to Asia. And he sent him to Ephesus. And I think about how men go out and they go to Danville, and then they go to Kentucky, and they go to Tennessee, and the word needs to be preached over in Virginia or West Virginia or Arkansas or wherever it may be. And we send these men who the gospel has been entrusted into. And how thankful are we for this? How thankful that God has raised up this means. Finally, here in 2 Timothy, Paul called Timothy to come to Rome. So, the instruction that he gave to Timothy was, and it's written here, go do the work of an evangelist. Go spread this gospel. And we need to take that to heart. We sincerely need to take that to heart. Whether we're the ones traveling or sending and supporting the ones traveling, we need to take that to heart. Go spread this gospel. Go preach the truth of Christ. But Paul had much confidence in Timothy as a preacher of the gospel. And if we want to know what his preaching was like, you know how different men have different deliveries and different personalities and If we want to know what his delivery was like and what it would have been like to listen to Timothy preach, look right here at 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. Paul said, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears." He preached with tears. That means he preached from the heart to the heart. He preached as one beggar to another beggar. And Paul said, "When I listened to you, I was filled with joy." He said, "I want to see you, remembering your tears, that I may be filled with joy." Filled with that joy that I have in hearing you preach the gospel. Verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," and that word unfeigned means sincere, without hypocrisy, not trying to put on a show for anybody. Timothy didn't try to put on a show for anybody. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What was it like to listen to Timothy preach? It was a clear message of power and love. Paul told Timothy, that's what the Lord has given us. A very clear message, sound mind, of power and love, sovereign love, sovereign grace. That's what Timothy very clearly preached, sovereign grace. The sovereign love of God in saving His chosen people by giving His life to redeem their souls. Verse 8, Paul said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He was not ashamed. He was a partaker of the affliction in preaching the gospel message according to the power of God. Verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He preached the finished, accomplished victory and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Timothy, that's the message that has been given to us." Paul said that was Timothy's message, and it gives me great confidence to send him to you to preach. Timothy's message was full of the Word. If you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, Second Timothy 3:14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Chapter 4, he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, Timothy, preach the Word." That's what he told him. I had a man tell me that one time. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. He got this page right here. That's where it is in my Bible. And he ran his finger down it like that. He said, "Preach the Word. Whatever it says, preach the Word." And that's what Timothy did. That's what Paul instructed him to do. Verse 2, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That means whether it's popular or not, preach the word. Reprove, that means prove it. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He's saying, Timothy, don't be one of those. Verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of your ministry, the ministry that's given to you. And he did. Timothy was the first pastor of the church at Ephesus. First pastor there. And you don't have to turn to this, but 1 Timothy 5:23 tells us that he was a sickly man. Apparently he was a man who had many sickly infirmities. Paul told him to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. He said, Timothy, I know you have a lot of infirmities. And we know men like that. Who the Lord has called Spurgeon was a man who had a lot of infirmities. But Timothy had a lot of infirmities. And he was the pastor of a good, loving congregation who loved him. There's no doubt in my mind they supported him. They helped him in every way that he needed them to help him. And the reason that there's no doubt in my mind on that is because that particular congregation was well known for having a heart to do that for brethren. I want to show you who some of the members were in Ephesus. Okay, these are some of the members Timothy preached to. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 19. 2 Timothy 4, verse 19. Paul said, Timothy, salute Prisca, which translates Priscilla. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Priscilla and Aquila attended in Ephesus. And if you know anything about them, you'll know that Timothy was a blessed man. He was a blessed pastor. Those two, that man and that woman helped so many of God's people. They were such an encouragement to God's people. And that's who he preached to. And he was blessed. I know they were blessed. And this man, Onesiphorus, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, back a couple of pages to 2 Timothy 1, verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. The fact that Paul was there in prison. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, he said, Timothy, you know very well. Paul said, Timothy, the things that he's done for me, you know it very well because he's done the same thing for you. God has given that man a heart to do that for God's people. That's endearing, isn't it? That's endearing. That is inspiringly contagious. That's contagious. I pray that the Lord might give us a fervent heart for the ministry. Whether we're called to preach, whether we're called to hear, whether we're called to be a supporter or a supportee, I pray the Lord might help us. I pray the Lord might do for us what He did for these men here. The love and the goodness of God that He creates for His people in the faith. All that's in the faith. I want to close this with Ephesians 3. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's letter to the congregation that Timothy ended up pastoring. Ephesians 3, verse 14. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Thank God for the loving family that He has given to us in Christ through that one same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul expressed it to Timothy, and I want to express it to you. I love you in the faith. I do. I love you in the faith. I pray the Lord will cause it to grow. Paul said, "I dearly love that man." May that be the case here. May He cause it to grow. All right.